everyone, welcome to this session, and I'm pleased to introduce Sally Akawai Te Namu Nicholas, who's talking about orthographic reform in Cook Islands Maori, human considerations and language revitalisation implications.
Wakarongo ki nei ki tangi a te huia, uia, uia, uia mai tātou. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. Tōtā i tā tukuma i au ki te tangata, tangata inoa tēnei, tēnei unua, te, te iwi o Awaiki Tokerau. Hello everyone, good afternoon. I'm Sally, and I'd like to welcome you to my discussion on our ancestral language, Cook Islands Māori, and how we write that language, which is what I'm going to be talking about. In keeping with the theme of this room, which seems to be the orthography room, how exciting orthography. Okay, so I'm just going to do a little background about the language itself, a little bit of a history of the orthography of the language, then some discussion about some linguistic points about why perhaps we want to change some of it, and then the guts of it, which is talking about how we've managed to trick the old people into changing the way they write. And then a little bit of a roundup on whether or not it's going to be worth it. But so, Tuatahi, Cook Islands, Polynesianists will know, alternative name for the Cook Islands that is getting used by some of us is Awaiki Rotopu, which is central Hawaiki, right? Because it's right in the middle of the Polynesian triangle, but that one hasn't caught on very much, but I'm encouraging that one if you want to take it up. Awaiki Rotopu, yeah. So it's a very the big distance. It's like 1,500 kilometres from the south to the north. Like, it's a huge, huge, huge area with the majority of the population in the main island, Rarotonga, and then small population elsewhere in what we used to call the outer islands, but we now call the Pāinoa because that's othering. Not allowed to call it anymore, I'm from that one. But in terms of the people, most of them are in Aotearoa New Zealand, so 60,000 or so, about 18,000 in the back in the home population, most of those on Rarotonga, probably about 1,500 in the other islands, and then a pretty big chunk in Australia. It's possibly a bit bigger than that because they don't have good counting about ethnic data there, but so
I'm not responsible.
Sorry. I'm apologising for staring accusingly at the one thing I was Australian. I'm missing the census, I'm really disappointed. So we're having our census in New Zealand on Tuesday, and I'm not going to be here, and I won't get counted, and that's one less in the number of speakers that's going to get counted in that census, unfortunately, but anyway. Anyway, so that's how many of us, but strongly, strongly can't note, emphasise any stronger that this is not equivalent to number of speakers. Mm-hmm. We've probably got something like 15 to 20,000, maybe. And it's very, very much only in the older generation. There's no Cook Island Māori medium of instruction schooling in New Zealand, and there's no Cook Island Māori medium of instruction schooling in Rarotonga, which is the main island. Primary schools are still Māori medium in the other islands, so children learn to read and write Māori as their first reading and writing language there, but nowhere else. So that accounts for probably overestimate 1,000 kids who are learning to read and write and having their schooling in the Māori language. Most of the younger generation, meaning under 30 or 40, are monolingual in English and don't speak, possibly passively bilingual, definitely not reading or writing any Māori. So that's the sort of status of it. Just quickly, what is it, in case you're confused? There's two languages in the Cook Islands. There's Pukapukan, which is a Samoa Polynesian language, which is not mutually intelligible with the language we call Cook Island Māori, and then there's Cook Island Māori, which is an East Polynesian language closely related to New Zealand Māori and Tahitian, but a distinct language from both of those two. There's varieties inside that and a bit of phonological variation, but it's fully mutually intelligible between all those varieties. If you want to see that in a picture, that's a very New Zealand-centric diagram, so it doesn't have Hawaii in it. It's got all the voices of the people who live in New Zealand on it, so it doesn't have Tahiti either, but that's political stuff. And there's the what it looks like inside there. You're probably reasonably familiar with that picture as a general rule. And as I mentioned before, very much at risk of becoming a language which is no longer spoken, which is not widely understood within the community and definitely not within the wider New Zealand sort of population, who's the relevant group that we need to be worried about, because that's the government who's responsible for this as one of our Indigenous languages. It's not even acknowledged technically as an Indigenous language of New Zealand, even though politically it is, because the Cook Islands are part of New Zealand, so there's political problems in there. But so, although increasingly we are, as us, the people, our community, becoming aware that there is a problem and that the language is at risk, but that's probably only been starting to be believed within maybe the last 5 years. I would say so, very new. So, phonology, orthography, and controversy. As we've heard all day, orthography is a divisive concept which ruins families and destroys communities and so on. possibly it should be banned and we should forget about this writing business altogether and just, you know, have the talking robot. Talking robot doesn't understand my English very well, so I can't imagine it's going to be understanding my Māori very well in the near future as well. Anyway, so phonemic inventory is pretty straightforward and familiar. 5/10 vowel system, ordinary ones, long and short. Southern dialect, nine consonants. Beat you fellas here by one. one of those consonants is a glottal stop, which is what has caused us bother in our writing system. The northern varieties actually don't have that glottal stop. They've got variously the H and the F and the H and the S in it, but that's irrelevant for things we'll talk about in a second, which is this. So the Rarotongan dialect, which is the dialect of the main largest population area, the main island, was written down in the 19th century by the London Missionary Society missionaries because they wanted to save the heathen souls and so on. And they did a typically bad job. Other people all over the world have been subjected to these missionary orthographies and got stuck with them, and that's what's happened with us as well. The main flaws in their system was not noticing vowel length, which is pretty common all over the place. We had that in New Zealand Māori too. But a bigger problem, because of the proportion of the sort of phonemic data that it covers, is missing that glottal stop. So that's a lot of information missing because they just missed it out. They also did some very strange things with borrowing loan words in a phonetically strange and mysterious way, and they put in some arbitrary weird spelling rules with commas and things like that that I don't need to talk about the details, but just weird stuff. No good. That's 19th century. We've had high literacy in that reading and writing system from that time up until about the 1980s. I started school in Rarotonga in the early 80s, and we learned to read and write using that system, but sometime in the late 80s they sort of stopped using Māori as the main language of instruction in schools in Rarotonga. So at that point people started, you know, kids stopped really learning to read and write, but I'm sort of the last of the generation who did, using that old system. At this sort of time during the 80s, harking back to our previous talk, because of a bit of linguistic knowledge advancement that happened from the 1960s onwards with Jasper Bewes and Bruce Biggs and other people working in the area, where they proved that vowel length was a true, real thing that needed to be talked about, and more importantly, proved that the glottal stop was a consonant just like a T or an F or whatever. There's been this idea around that we need to incorporate those letters into the system because they need to be there, because they tell you how to say the word and other reasons like that. So this is the semi-official alphabet that we supposedly use, and here's a nice children's information picture of it. Consonant missing from there, if you might observe. So even though they know it's there, it's not treated like a letter. Mm-hmm. It's treated like a punctuation, so it's not in this alphabet picture. So, in 1995, after a long, long time, the Bewes Taringa Briggs Moikaʻa dictionary got published, which is a really, really good bilingual dictionary, with a really phonetic orthographic system. So it became a sort of possibility as a something to a model for people to use when they were trying to write using a more comprehensive writing system, but it was really overdone. And I won't go through, I've got these examples on the handout, and I'll just flip through these quickly, but they did too much of this, putting in glottal stops where they weren't phonemic and just because they sounded like that and they're not always there. They marked long vowel, which was produced by regular stress, which is a bit of a controversial thing. Who knows what the right thing to do is there, but I'm sort of leaning on that it's not the right thing to do. But I'm looking at the wrong one. They did marked phonetically conditioned voweling, so that car in the first one and that car, they're the same, they mean the same thing. It's long because of the phonetic rule, it's not, you know, doesn't change the meaning. Blah blah blah, stress and word breaks. Those were the main sort of things which they did over the top. So they went too detailed, too complicated, and really hard to learn. So that's a bit of a quick look at the difference. So the one on the left is the old one. The one on the right is the abused one, just full of other bits and pieces. Yada yada. So if you're wondering, that's 2 Timothy 4:18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will lead me safely to his heavenly kingdom. So that happened, and it didn't work because it was too complicated. No one understood how it worked. No teachers knew how to teach it to kids. They didn't even know how to use it themselves. So it didn't catch on. So we still write with what I'm calling the missionary orthography / the vernacular orthography is what people use. And they do use it, so people do read and write. It does exist. We have print culture, but it's hard to read for a second language speaker or for a non-native speaker. So got that one, missionary one, all these flaws, but it's the popular one, it's what the actual speakers and users of the language use. Got this one, which is more correct, but it's impossible to use. No one uses it. It went nowhere. Right? And so then we go to this question. Oh well, people are literate, they are reading and writing, they've got a writing system, why can't we just let them? And I go to that, don't worry about the numbers, frightening, 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 death, language, horror. the kids, right? Because, as it says here, the vast majority of potential future readers and writers and speakers of this language, because of the sins of our elders, are going to be L2. And they can't do what my grandparents and everyone can do and say, but I don't need that because I know what it says, I don't need it because I know what it says. The kids, which is 70-85% of the population, don't. They can't draw on that mental lexicon to be able to disambiguate it. They don't know how to do it because they don't have that knowledge, so they need the extra data in the writing. And it's that much extra data. This is made up nonsense stats, right? Because that's not actually how it works, but it's, right? 1 out of 10, 1 out of 9, 2 out of 5, that's how much phonemic, you know, consonantal data we're missing. We're missing that glottal stop. That's a lot in a small paradigm of consonants, right? When already lots of difficulty disambiguating. So here's some examples. So we're going to have Bible style, BS for short, gloss, and full orthography. So we've got this word written like this, AI, and Bible style means fire. Actually, gloss will stop noodle, AI, right? Then we've got this one, written the same way in the Bible style. This is hard to hear the difference between just on its own. So ka'ai, like that, or this one, kai. Right? 3 possible potential ones. Yeah, see, it's already funny, isn't it? So the Bible might say this, I'm not going to say it because I don't know how to say it without any context, right? Which could mean this, aremaika aitawa, which means come here, let's play cat's cradle. That's this string game. The I, yep. Yeah. Oh, too fast. It wasn't delicate. Yeah. I'll get another one. Can't say this one, I don't know, no context. If it's aremaika te ai, that's come to the fireplace. And this one, right? Potentially very confusing. Gotta hurry up, the funny ones. This one, best one ever. Oh. Yeah. So this is the actual how you say that line from the Bible. This is the that. We have no more but 5 words and 2 words. that's what it says, but it's entirely possible to end up with that, right? true story. So we're trying to go for, we imaginary people now, I'm real, not imaginary, we're trying to go for that, right? So more detailed than the missionary style, but not so tricky and fiddly that you can't learn it like the Buse one. So we're trying to get something which has enough information but isn't so complicated that people can actually learn to use it. We've got something in mind that looks like that. You can look at it at your leisure in a minute, but we need to sell it, right? Here's some humans, there's kids, the hope of the future. They're looking through that welding mask at the eclipse. That was the eclipse that was in November around our way. They're all looking through, none of them went blind. I lent one of them my sunglasses, but I was a bit worried about them. I wasn't sure. Right, so the main reasons that we haven't changed, even though we've had the possibility to change for the last 30 or so years, is one, the prestigious status of it being the language of the Bible. You can probably, you know, imagine how significant that is in a very Christianized sort of society. It's also bother with the typewriter slash computer problem with writing the macrons, which is how we mark the long vowel and other bits and pieces, the sign for the bottle stop as well as an ongoing problem. Just general conservatism and not wanting to change. There's a sort of stigmatization of people who need that marking, they're not as good with the language, so we feel superior for not having it. That kind of attitude is around in place. Lack of new model, which is what we're trying to fix, and yeah, difficulty with the sort of previous proposed new model. So pretty strong reasons for not wanting to change. I'm probably not going to have time to go through these good stories, but there's this one is a comment today about the use of the macron shows the colonial influence from New Zealand Māori. Nonsense. The other stuff like anti, and then we got agree, and this is the funny one. If we didn't have God or sorts of macrons, we'd F up terribly when reading out loud, like in church, blah and blah, we're all for it, blah, 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 blah. So there's a bit of a mix in sort of, these are contemporary people, adults, not elders, like Metua. So there's a bit of a sense that, if you know what you're doing, you don't need it, but lots of people don't know what they're doing, so we do need it, so we should change, but how do we do it? And this is how we've done it. Or how we're in the process of doing it. So, so we have a project which is nearing completion, which is a retranslation of the New Testament in Rarotong, in the Rarotongan dialect, which they've been working on for since 1984. They finished the translation and they just got up to the proofreading part, and they're like, "Oh, we want to use the new system will mark the things." Give them out to our native speaker proofreaders and we'll get them to check. And these were all native speakers who were pro macron, pro using the new thing, and they sent them all back, and you can imagine what happens. They're all different, right? They all sent Second Timothy out to everyone and all the perfectly literate and, you know, highly educated people gave them back all different, because nobody, there's too many fiddly little details, no one knew what was right in all instances. So that's my job. I've had to try and invent a system which is about 90% done and is currently in the middle of this. So here's a person being really excited about orthographic reform. So look at that's Viola. That's the Bible study guy. He's not as exciting, is he? So we give them out pages of text and we read through it and we explain through, that's me explaining.
You don't
agree, so why we've done it, and that's, and they're like, but why, and I'm like, because of this, and so far, so good. Like, just to wrap up, I think we've reached a point where the combination of sudden recent awareness of the sort of dangerous state that the language is in. Lucky timing that this Bible project got finished just when the Bible people managed to come after me after I'd been avoiding them for about 10 years because I knew they wanted me to do this. Right at a time where the right people are there, and we've got the Catholics, the CICC, which is the main Protestant thing, the Cook Island Ministry of Education, so in Rarotonga, all of those, plus all the Orometua, that's the churches in Auckland so far, have all said, you do it and we'll adopt it. which I don't believe because that's implausible, but at the moment that's the official brief that we've got. And so far so good, and the prospects actually look good for, at least if nothing else, getting the system in this version of the Bible, and then hopefully these sort of flow-on effects might come from having that big bit of data, that model, a bit of prestige behind it. We might start getting an actual systematic orthographic system with this new system, which is a, you know, kids can actually, or kids and second language users can actually access. But as I said, more perilous climate than ever before. But right, being able to write it and being people being able to read it ain't gonna do nothing if we don't start talking to our babies again, which we haven't been for a generation or two, and that's what we need to do, otherwise it's going to be just writing in a book and nothing else. So, ko te, me take ma.
Thanks, Sally. Questions?
I have two. I'm just wondering, the languages on the outer islands, they're still taught,
the first question, the language of instruction in schools when they're having Māori medium instruction is the Rarotongan dialect using the missionary orthography. Yeah. The answer to the second question is possibly a little bit more complicated. All the usual reasons. The evils of colonisation and globalisation and et cetera, et cetera. They think that English is going to be better for their kids to get jobs. We've got all Cook Islanders and New Zealand citizens, which means that Cook Islanders can work freely in New Zealand or Australia, and we've got huge immigration, as you saw in the picture, that's where everybody lives. They want to go there, they speak English, they don't need to speak Māori, blah, blah, blah. Just same old, same old. Same story as it is everywhere around the world. Yeah. So, and same kind of thing, like lack of acknowledgement until very, very recently that there was a problem. Just like, well, they don't need to do it at school, they'll just speak it at home, but they don't, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
How much did you consider digital communication? Do you have a standard keyboard that will allow on a cell phone for them to use all the characters?
Well, so the Māori and Hawaiian versions, between the two of those, which are accessible, we can. So this computer can do everything. I have a lesson in my thing, how to get your blooming Macklins and your Amata on you. Like, it's reasonably, these days, reasonably already can be done. So the Macron is the one tricky character. The Amata character, we still haven't decided which sort of Unicode code symbol we're going to use for it, but you can just use a sort of straight apostrophe and it does the job.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they don't want the okina for Hawaiian people because of the curliness of it. That's the symbol that they use in Hawaiian. They find it breaks up the word too much, and it doesn't track properly when they're reading it, so they don't like the okina. I went with that at first because of it already being a thing in Hawaiian. I thought that would be useful, but they didn't want it, so went back to the street one. Mm. But, yeah.
What's the general feeling with the communities in Aotearoa?
About changing?
Yeah, going back and having kura and rarotonga and...
there's a lot of awangawanga, they worried, you know, and they feel like that it needs to happen, but there's the Ministry of Education in the Cook Islands has been really all talk and no action for quite a long time, and a lot of people, I mean, you know, I'm one of them because I'm sort of, you know, Ngotanaki o Hio, so I've got these two inputs. I've got this New Zealand Māori model quite strong in my head about what a good way to do it would be, and there's some people who agree with that, and then there's this sense, also a little bit of sense of fear about too much imposition from the New Zealand Māori sort of system and too much borrowing and all that kind of stuff, so there's a bit of tension in that idea. So me personally, I'm pro using all those loimi, anything you can get from the New Zealand Māori context, because it's right there in it, you know, we know it works, but there's a bit of resistance, and there's a bit of schism as well with the island thing. People want to go in their little island group, kura school, and no one can decide, so there's blah, blah, blah. It's disparate, yeah.
How does that manifest itself in any resistance to the normative nature?
picture of this whole enterprise? I mean, so, I mean, you talked about how there's the descriptivist and Providence doing its own thing, but I mean, that's what I've sort of understood, is that Rarotonga is seen a little bit as the category killer within the
two attitudes to it. One is, we should be Rarotongan is what we should write because it's the language of the Bible, it's the proper prestigious dialect, are overtly saying it. There's the people who believe that, and then there's the ones who want it who are going, no, it's the imperial imposition on our dialect, we must never do it. In terms of the southern thing, there's going to be no problem, they're all going to be written the same any which way, they've got exactly the same system. The northern one, the official thing is they can put their F's in there, H's in there, L's in there, S's in there, and that's all good. But what's going in the Bible is going to be southern and overtly so, and they're talking about doing a northern one too, but that would potentially involve a retranslation rather than just cutting and pasting all those amateurs back into F's and L's. But yeah, so that's another problem as well, but not huge, and it's an insurmountable one.
Sure. So, as you pointed out, I mean, Cook Islands is part of New Zealand, and Cook Islanders are New Zealand citizens, and there's no protection for Cook Islands Māori in New Zealand. Are you hopeful? I mean, what kind of actions are you? I mean, there's this consultation going on at the moment for a national languages policy. I just wonder whether you feel as though there's likely to be anything substantive coming out of that.
I know some people.
Have they talked to you? I guess is what I'm really.
Well,
yeah.
The Little Pacifica people. You know them?
Uh-huh.
They're super confident.
Yeah.
I'm not that confident because, come on, they're against us. They'd cancel New Zealand Māori if they could, you know?
Yeah.
What they need to get in there, so at the moment we've got New Zealand Sign Language and New Zealand Māori. They need to get in Kuka Ana Māori, Pukupukan, Niuean, and Tokelau.
Yeah.
Definitely, because those are the ones who are politically under New Zealand, absolutely. They probably need to get Samoan and Tongan in there too because of historical political relationship and all the rest of it. I'm not confident that it's no. Even though other people roast into glasses maybe are, I'm not really. Not at the moment.
Okay. Thank you, Sally.